You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Run for the gold, 'cause it's going on and on. We'll be driving through the darkest night until the break of dawn. We'll be heading for the cities, another show for us to play. To get back in the bank.
Hello and welcome to That One Time on Tour. As always, I'm your host, Chris Swinney. Thank you so much for coming back and checking all of these episodes out. We've been getting a really, really good response, and I know there's been a delay. I did not have a new episode out last week, and I do apologize for that. I was out of town. I had a lot of stuff going on, but I'm back now, and I've got some really good guests coming up. So before we get into today's episode, I would like to tell you we're on all the social media platforms. The handle is TOT podcast. So hit us up on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, everything. I'm working on a YouTube channel right now, so some people that can't listen on iTunes or whatever can check it out on YouTube. That'll be up shortly. Speaking of that, if you're on iTunes, please subscribe and please rate and review us in the iTunes store. It goes a really long way for helping this podcast grow and getting a little bit more visibility. So please, if you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, preferably 5 stars. Thank you very much if you've already done that. We've been getting a lot of really, really good reviews, and no bad reviews yet. So be the first one. If you're not digging this, go ahead and leave us a bad review. Maybe we'll talk about it on the show. But as always, if you have any, you know, ideas for guests, or if you have any questions for me, or questions that you wanted me to ask like a future guest, please send us an email at TOTOTpodcast@gmail.com. This week on the show, I talked to my buddy Eddie Reyes from Taking Back Sunday. Eddie's been in Taking Back Sunday since the beginning. Eddie was also in the movie Life before he got Taking Back Sunday going. And I mean, he's just done a lot of stuff. They've been everywhere. They've been on independent labels. They've been on major labels. They are a huge band. He's done so many great things, written so many great songs. And I'm excited for you guys to hear my conversation with Eddie. Recently, Eddie and Taking Back Sunday have parted ways. I believe this is his first kind of interview since that happened. So we get into that briefly as well. But there's a lot of really good information in this interview, and it was a lot of fun to talk to Eddie again. I hadn't really spoken with him or seen him in person since Warped Tour like 04. So it's been a long time. That's the running theme of these podcasts. I'm talking to people I haven't talked to in a really long time. So without further ado, here it is, my conversation with my good friend, Eddie Reyes of Taking Back Sunday. Hey, Eddie, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. You're out in Missouri, correct?
Yes, in a small town in Northern Missouri called Lebanon. I came up here to hang with my brother and my family for a couple months.
Are you still based out of Ohio?
I am. I mean, my kids and the rest of my family are in Ohio. I go back and forth. Next week, I'll drive back to Ohio for a couple weeks, hang out, do some recording with this new project, new band I got going now. So, yeah, everything's all good, you know?
Cool. Well, I tell you what, man, I'd really like to kind of start at the beginning, if you could, a little bit. You're originally from Long Island, correct?
Yes, I'm born and raised in Long Island. I'll always be a Long Islander. You know, doesn't matter where I go, I'm always a Long Islander.
Yeah, I remember. The only thing I really remember about Long Island, I've spent some time out there. When I was in the Ataris, we played the Crazy Donkey a couple times.
Yeah, yeah. Long Island, you know, special place, you know. Great music scene. A lot of great bands came from Long Island. So many musicians I respect came from Long Island. So we'll always have a big, big, big place in my heart, you know?
That's great, man. I'm from Indiana, so I'm a Midwesterner pretty much through and through. I just spent the last couple years living in Alabama, which was kind of a change.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're in Alabama. That's right.
I was in Alabama. Now I'm back in Indiana where I'm from originally, but I was down on the beach, so it wasn't that bad.
I got a lot of family in Alabama, so Alabama's another place, you know.
So as far as No, I was just gonna say, Taking Back Sunday, you guys accomplished some really, really great things. Can you kind of take me back to the beginning, kind of how that whole started and, like, you know, how you guys ended up with your debut on Victory, like, you know, how that all started out?
My memories of Taking Back Sunday are pretty insane. I remember starting the band at a coffee shop in Islip, Long Island, talking to a friend of mine, Antonio Longo, who originally sang for us, but then we parted ways. I told him I was starting another band because I just recently left the movie life, another band that I started back in the day, and things just didn't work out. So I let them be, I let them do their thing, and I moved on, and I just decided to do something that I really, a style that I really wanted to do. So that's back in 98. It was in 99, but back in October 28th, I remember the date. October 28th, 1998, I was sitting in a coffee shop, and I said, I'm ready to start a new band. And then I was sitting with my friend, and it just started then. And then a couple months later, you know, Antonio said, got this guy, John, who plays guitar. I've seen John briefly at Long Island shows. I've never really talked to him, but John Nolan stepped in, and then the rest was history. And, after a couple of the other members left the band, that's when John came in, and then slowly each member started coming in. You know, Adam came in originally as a bassist, and I moved him to vocals because he's a good singer, and yada yada, and the rest of history. You know.
So, did you guys just start playing like locally around New York, or did you do any tours right away? Like, what was the
No. We were part of the Long Island scene. We played many, many shows in basements and BFW halls, like the way it was back then, you know. Like, we were truly a part of the old hardcore scene from Long Island. Like, there were other great hardcore scenes, like in Jersey, you know, the Thursday guys and all that, and then New York, of course. And a lot of those scenes embraced us, so we were slowly getting recognition because they were allowing us to play with them. I mean, H2O let us open up for them. So many bands. Slowly just built up. Plus, the scene itself was blowing up. Like, it was just getting bigger and bigger. And then me and a couple of the old dudes from Long Island used to book shows. They're like, holy crap, what the hell did we start? And it just blew out of control. But in a good way. Taking Back Sunday took off. I mean, along with other bands like Brand New and Glassjaw and, Sound Majority, bands like that, you know. I think it all slowly built up together, band and music scene and other bands. But we were fortunate enough to just stick around for a while, you know.
You brought up Brand New. I mean, we don't have to stay on this at all if you even don't even want to talk about it, but there's, you know, kind of the legend that you guys have this massive beef or against each other, like a feud. Like real truth to that, or are you guys cool?
It's silly. People are dumb.
it's that emo folklore.
There's no point in talking about it, you know? Some people are crazy and they like to take personal things that happen between friends that wasn't really at all a big deal and made a big deal out of it. And honestly, no one has ever really cared, you know, like, who cares?
Yeah, I figured,
you know, so we went our way. They went their way. That's just how it goes.
Well, that's cool. Okay, so that's out of the way. So right. you guys are playing. You're in the Long Island scene. You're playing with a lot of the bands. How did the Victory thing come about? Could you tell me about that a little bit?
Yeah, it came. Angel Juare is a close friend of ours, and he was working at Victory. And I remember I was hanging out with my friend Michelle, who's part of one of the main reasons why I came next Sunday, became to next Sunday. But I was playing the demos and she's like, dude, this shit's good. And I was like, oh, really cool. And she passed it on to Angel, and Angel loved it, and he walked Victory. And I mean, that's basically how it happened, you know?
Oh, okay. They were like ready to go right away. Like stories.
There was a couple of other labels that came first that were interested, and then Victory just had a better. They were more. They were hungrier, you know, like they really wanted to sign us. So, and of course, you know, we won Victory, and you know, we put out our first record, Tell Your Friends, and yeah, it's been, you know, it's history since then, you know.
Yeah, that record was great, man. And I mean, I remember getting that record. I heard you guys on a Victory comp, which I think a lot of people probably did. And then I went and picked up the record, and it was great, man. It kind of blew me away. I mean, I've always kind of been more the metal kind of punk side of things, but yeah, there for yeah. a while, I was listening to a lot of, you know, different stuff, and I hate the moniker emo, you know. I mean, there's so many things that can be emotional.
It really is dumb. I don't even know. How did that happen? Like, what stupid music magazine made up that name for our genre? Just like the grunge scene, how they hated that, and they got labeled grunge. To me, emo was a scene that I grew up on back in the early 90s, and it was only a couple of bands, and that died out. And, you know, it's just, and their influence a lot of people to become more melodic, and I guess that's emo. But that's, I'm not really. And what made it worse was when did gothic and emo become a thing? And then all everyone's wearing has their floppy dyed black hair, and everyone's all evil and dark and just so silly, man. I mean, don't get me wrong. I wear black. I'm definitely into horror. I love goth. I love, you know, The Cure, all that shit. I was brought up on all that shit. But when the scene took off, like in that genre, and we got labeled. Put part of it. It was kind of like, oh God, but you know, it is what it is. And
I think the vocals being what they were for a lot of the bands of that era, I think maybe that's why someone's, because I mean, I think all music, if it's worth anything, is emotional. Yeah. So I don't know why that got the moniker, but some of the vocals, maybe it sounded like they were being very emotional as they sang. So maybe that's where it came from. I think it's bullshit as well.
You know, they took the, it's funny, punk and hardcore and post-hardcore, whatever you genre you want to be a part of, it's all emotional. It's like, that's what music is about emotion. And when they just started labeling bands that, I was just like, oh God. And it's not the kids. It's the people in the industry did that, you know?
Definitely, and, yeah.
You know, and they made a good profit off of it too, so there you go.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was in the Ataris, and people would always come up and they'd say, you're my favorite pop punk band. I'm like, we're not really that pop punk. I think labels with bands are so, I mean, they can, you know, affect your sales, which can help a lot, or they can affect it negatively. But yeah, I just thought you guys were like a great rock band. I just thought it was awesome.
Thanks. You know, here's a question for you. Were you with the Ataris when you guys played the record store on Long Island and we opened up?
Do you know what year that was?
Oh, jeez. It was like 99. It was like 99, 2000, maybe.
I joined a few years after that. The time that you and I met.
I remember you, but I just couldn't remember who was in the band at the time. That was a long time ago. We played a record store, and Adam used to work at that record store. No, Adam worked at a record store later, but we put a record store and we opened up for the Ataris, and it was a great show. Everyone, there was a lot of kids, and we always had strange shows like that. I remember opening up us, we opened up for At The Drive-In at a bowling alley in Long Island. That was pretty intense.
I saw At The Drive-In at a laundromat in Muncie, Indiana. It was pretty crazy.
There you go.
But when I met
Muncie?
I tell you what, at Ball State University, Muncie, Indiana, which is kind of where I'm from, when I was growing up, you know, late 90s, when all those like bands were touring, like At The Drive-In and whatnot, they came through and they were supposed to play this actual venue, but the show, I believe, got moved. So there was this laundromat like right by the college, and the guy like let them have the show there. So it was pretty crazy.
Oh, Yeah. I remember being in a movie life. I remember being in a bank called Inside. I remember us playing some record store in Muncie, Indiana. There was like five people there.
You probably played Stevie Ray's House of Wax.
Yeah, Stevie Ray's House, that's it. There was like five people then, and I came back a bunch of years later with Ting Rex Tournament, and it was like still five people.
Yeah, man. that place is pretty legendary if you're from around here, because if you saw any bands, like actual touring kind of, you know, second level bands in this area, yeah, that's where they played. It doesn't exist anymore. It's actually a Jimmy John's now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But what I was going to say is when I actually met you, and it was just sort of in passing, we didn't really spend a lot of time together, but I remember on Warped Tour, it was either 03 or 04, you guys had a copy of the Some Kind of Monster DVD from Metallica, and you let me watch it with you.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Yeah, that's a long ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. So, like, that's the thing. Like, you and I wouldn't say we're, like, best buddies, but, like, we've met a few times in passing. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that's how it goes, you know? I mean, it's too bad we didn't look close. We probably would have hung out all the time. And I know, well, Chris is the singer for the guitars, right? Chris.
Chris is the singer. Chris with a K. I'm Chris with a CH. I was the lead guitarist.
No, I know, but Chris the singer.
Yeah.
To this day, he still lives in Overland. And I'm always like, hey, what's up, dude? And they'll look at me and be like, hey, what's up? And then he has no idea who I am. So that's how it is, you know? That's how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, you meet so many people on the road. Like, that's where when I started this podcast, I didn't really know how it was going to go. I just kind of did it because I wanted to do something creative. And, I'm actually, my next guest after this episode is Kira, that played bass in Black Flag.
Oh, wow. That's great.
So, that's people are saying yes. Like, I've met people in passing. I might not be really close to them, but, you know, I said, hey, I'm just going to chat. It's not a big deal. It's not like an interview. It's like a conversation, you know?
Yeah. You know, and, you know, being in music for such a long time, you cross so many paths with so many great musicians. Like, I met Zach Wilde and hung out in. Tom Araya was always a great guy. Slayer. Of course, playing with you guys and playing, you know, meeting you guys and just so many great musicians, you know, and it's just, I'm blessed to be a part of music. I'm getting back into it. So hopefully this new project kicks off. I get back on my feet and get back on the road. You know, I'm missing playing shows and stuff, you know. I don't know if you heard, but
that's what I was going to ask. Do you mind maybe just giving me a little insight into what is going on?
You know, I don't want to go too deep. It's not a bad thing. You know, I still love all the guys so much. Still always been my brothers and family. But, you know, we parted ways. I handed the sword over and let them carry it on. And I'll always be there to support them. But I just, you know, the last couple of years, I've been battling addiction. Alcoholism is a horrible sickness. And I'm not afraid to admit it that I am an alcoholic. And over the years of touring and playing, and, you know, it kind of put me in this mode of needing to drink, you know, like not being around my kids, not watching them grow up, going through, you know, family breakups, all that stuff, personal stuff. And it caught up to me and I needed to step aside. Everyone can support you so much and help you so much until you really need to like sit down and go, now I really need to work on myself. And that's basically what I went through the last 2 years. And, it's sad to see them go on without me. But like, again, I wish them all the luck. They've been nothing but supportive. And, but now it's like, I'm inspired. My sobriety is strong. My head is back on my shoulders and, I'm ready to get back to it, you know, and that's it. I mean, that's all I really want to talk about was just that. So,
yeah, totally. And I mean, yeah, I applaud you for taking initiative to, you know, get yourself healthy. And a lot of people don't understand when you're on the road and you are bored or you do miss family, you miss your kids, you miss your wife, whatever the thing is, drinking is so easy to do. It's always there.
You know, to get personal, you know, touring is a blessing. blessing. Music is a blessing. Becoming popular in the music scene. I wouldn't say famous because I don't believe in that. And I wouldn't say it because of course you have all these new guys who don't appreciate or understand what it's like to start off really small. But I've always been a hardcore kid from Long Island, you know, no matter how big of an arena or crowd I play to, my heart is still that little DIY kid running around with his little bicycle bag on his back and, you know, doing interviews and interviewing bands and booking shows and stuff, you know, like, so I'll never change that. It ends relationships. It ends marriages. It takes away. And I'm only saying the dark side of it because there's a big light side of it. There's a huge, awesome, energy from music and touring and all that and playing and just sharing your music with people around the world. But there's the dark side of it. And unfortunately, I let myself go. I'm not afraid to talk about it because if I can help someone else in sobriety, I will do it. And I have brothers who have backed me and have had my back and who are helping me out through it. And, you know, it's not a very original story in the rock scene. You lose some and some manage to walk away and brush it off and get back on their feet. And I'm one of those people that, like, you know, I've seen the dark and I'm happy where I am right now. And it's day by day. That's how you got to do it, day by day.
Well, yeah, dude, and I'm super, super happy for you, man. And I hope that the new band does great things. And I mean, you're a great songwriter, you're a great guy, so good luck and all that, man.
Thank you.
But so what I would like to talk about, we've got that out of the way. I would like to talk about tell all your friends started actually kind of gaining like ground. I just remember you guys, sometimes people would lump you together with Thursday because they were a band on the label that was kind of doing well as well, but I never really thought you guys had that similar of a sound, but you guys were kind of like the flagship bands at that point because things were starting to happen. How was it when that started to happen? Did you feel like you were really starting to kind of get somewhere? Like, how did it feel?
Thursday. I love those guys. Those guys are my brothers. We grew up in, I remember Jeff gave me his demo years ago, because they used to book shows, and so I had the Thursday demo. But it's just like I said before; it was it didn't seem real that everything was blowing up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
people were getting, and we went from playing in front of 20 kids to like, oh my god, there's 200 kids here! Holy shit! And then next thing you know, we're fucking walking out of sold out show at Nassau Coliseum. So it's all, you know. It was all real to me personally. Every night before a show, I would go off and say a prayer. And I was always nervous. Even to the last show I played with TBS, I was nervous. Yeah, I'm always nervous, you know? Even if I'm playing in a basement in front of, you know, 30 kids, I'm nervous, you know? So I don't think that's ever changed, but it was, sometimes you're like, wow, this is like, when I walked down on stage in Nassau Coliseum and there was, I think 12 or 14,000 there. So
wow.
That's when it hit me. And I was like, well, not only is it a hometown show and I'm so proud to be in front of everyone who made us who we are, it was just so surreal and like a dream come true, you know?
But yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, it's the only way to explain it.
I know I've got a lot of friends that have been on Victory. I've talked to the guys in Atreyu. I've talked to guys in Thursday. Yeah. I know that they're kind of a unique label in the way that they like the contracts and sometimes they want to sign you for too many records. Did you guys see a lot of the royalties or a lot of money back from what you sold, or was that kind of a touchy thing,
man,
with them?
That's like something I can't talk about. I wish I could tell you a lot of stuff, but I'd rather not stay out of trouble, you know, because there's a paper and pen and things signed. everyone's happy. You know, they're happy, we're happy. Everyone has a good relationship. I'll tell you, with any record label, there's always some side of it that is, some of it's fair and some of it's not fair. And it goes for anyone, any label, anywhere in the world. But those are the things that, you sign to a label, you got to deal with the relationships and how the labels run, But, me personally, Victory has done nothing but, Victory did nothing but open doors for us and put out a fucking great record, So what are you gonna do,
Do you prefer like the major label thing? Cause the Ataris are on independent and majors. You guys were on independents and majors, actually now back to Hopeless, which I guess is an independent. Did you prefer? Did you really have a preference?
Well, being a punk rock hardcore from New York, I was always like, fuck majors, fuck this, fuck that. And then, being in a band for a long time and growing up, maturing, I had the opportunity to be signed to a big label, and they were great to us. Warner Brothers they had our backs 100%, and the time came where our relationship ended. And even the people that worked our albums on Warner, when we weren't with Warner anymore, they were still coming out to our shows and hanging out with us like they were family. So I really don't have a bad thing to say about them. As far as Warner, being on Warner as a major, I can't speak for all the other labels because I heard a million nightmares, a lot of horrible stories. But Warner, I can say that we were blessed to be signed to that label. And also, the earliest stages being signed to Victory. Like, we were blessed to be on two labels. And even now, we went back down to a really great legendary indie is Hopeless, and Hopeless to nothing but treat us like family for the last two records that we were on with them. And I've got nothing. I wish you'd sit there and be like, oh fuck that, blah, blah. I can't, because it's the truth is these people all put their hard work into it and have believed in us and backed us, and Taking Back Sunday still wouldn't be who they are. They're still touring, man. They're still playing big venues, and we wouldn't be there, or they wouldn't be there, if it weren't for these people working really hard. So, like I said, we got lucky. A lot of other bands didn't. Yeah.
Well, that's great to hear, because a lot of people on major labels, they have a lot of horror stories, and that's great to hear, man.
Let's not sugarcoat it. There are lots of shitty major labels out there that are just money hungry and will chew you up and spit you out when you're not a flavor anymore. But for TBS and for myself and my personal experience, for me, speaking only for me and myself, we were blessed to be on the labels that helped us become who we are or who they are. Yeah. It's so hard trying to explain it when you're not in the band anymore. It's like, it's just hard, and for younger bands now, man, it's like, times have changed. Even from when we started the band, we used to tour with a map book. There was no such thing as
MapQuest. Yeah. You'd have to print out everything.
The big map books you buy at the truck stores, truck stops. I always tell kids about the Atlas maps we had, and they're like, really? You didn't have GPS? I'm like, no, back then it really wasn't that popular. So it's like, I tell these younger bands now that, like, don't think it's all going to be fed to you in a silver spoon. And if it is, you better make sure it's real, because, it's a lot of hard work. You start at the bottom, and, I'm experiencing that right now. I'm starting over again, and it's fun. I'm excited. And I'm not going to say I don't have the perks, because I do, because I've been around for a while. But for the younger bands, I'm just like, you got to work hard, man, and just look out for people that just seeing dollar signs in you, you know, and you know, if you do it yourself, do it yourself. If you sign to a great indie label, that's great. If you sign to a major, that's great. Just look out for yourself and make sure you take care of yourself, you know?
Can you tell me a little bit about your new project? Do you have anything you can share with me?
We have a name. We have 7 songs written. I've made a couple of phone calls to 4 awesome professional musician individuals who I've known for a while, and we're all excited. And it just came together. A lot of our stuff is done online. Like, I'd write and record and send it to the drummer, and they'd send it here, send it there. And next month we get together to record an EP and then release the name finally. Because we have a name, but we don't want to talk about that right now.
Yeah. I gotcha.
But
I mean, it's like launching a business, you know, you have to do everything in the correct step. So holding the name back, that's a great idea.
It's a project, you know, like TBS is a project that I started and I love being a part of, and I was surrounded by talented, super talented musicians, some of the best guys in the world. And this is another, family now that I'm going to be a part of, and they're all super talented. And they see the vision that I see, you know, a little heavier, a little darker. So, you know, that's what we're going for.
Well, that's great, man. And so you guys haven't actually recorded the EP. You're just right now doing like the pre-production type stuff.
Yeah, we have demos and pre-production. And then next week, actually, I'm driving back to Ohio to jam out with the guys. And then we're just going to go in the studio real quick, you know, 3-4 days and cut like really good tracks and, you know, start shipping them and start putting them out online and eventually let everyone know who we're called, you know, and then hopefully some bands will take us out on tour or we'll find someone who's going to want to book us shows and stuff, you know?
So, that's great, man. Well, I'm really excited to hear it. I can't wait.
Yeah.
So this is, I'm not going to take up too much more of your time. We're almost at the 30-minute mark, but this is called That One Time on Tour. So I always try to get my guests, if they have any like crazy or just, you know, awesome tour stories. You guys have done so much. You've been all over the world. Can you give me anything that just stands out in your mind, like a cool tour story or something that means something to you?
Oh, man, we've been all over the world. I've been blessed with so many great stories and so many weird, freaky stories. And I remember in France, we were stuck. Somebody blocked us in like a car. And so we had no way of getting the bus out. So I gathered me and a bunch of guys were like, let's do it. So we got out of the car and the bus and we picked the car up. And moved it out of the way and put it on the sidewalk.
That's awesome. And
that was a crazy story. I remember that very well. I mean, there's so many. Playing with Blink was a great. We had a lot of good stories with them. I remember pranking them on stage and smashing cake all over them and smashing their guitars and just nothing really crazy. One of the crazy things that I know that I was a part of was a tree falling on Adam during a storm. And that was pretty crazy. What else? Like I said, there's so many. I need to sit down and run down.
Did you guys ever play a country that you thought you would never, ever get to? Like, that's my big thing in the Ataris. Like, one of my favorite things that we ever did was we went and we spent a week in South Africa. Like, did you guys any like crazy stuff like that?
Well, we did a couple of military shows for the military. And, one of the craziest things I never thought in my wildest dreams I'd ever do was land a plane on an aircraft carrier, play in front of like 3,000 soldiers, and then take off from that aircraft carrier.
That's pretty
that
awesome.
Was insane. That's probably, I think, you know what? That's number one of the most insane things that's ever happened to me. Yeah.
Well, that's great, man. Well, hey, yeah. I tell you what, I don't want to take up a lot of your time. thank you so much for being a part of this podcast where I'm trying to grow it, you know, and it's really nice to have, you know, people that I've met in the past that are, you know, giving enough to come on here and cool enough to just talk about things. And I wish you all the luck in the world and all the luck with your sobriety. And I think you're a great guy and I can't wait to hear the new band.
Thank you. I hope that we can cross paths. And if you hear us coming through Indiana, come down and hang out with us. I'll have a nice little spot on the guest list for you so you can hang out with us.
That sounds good. And I'll tell you what, man, when the project comes to fruition and you're doing things, if you want to come back on to promote it, maybe we'll do a part two if you're into that.
Yeah, I'm totally down. Just shoot me a text. You got my number.
I got your number, man. Well, hey, I really appreciate it, Eddie. Have a great rest of your day. And thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
All right, man. Be well.
I'll talk to you later, man. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And there it was, my conversation with Eddie Reyes of Taking Back Sunday. Eddie's got a new band, like he was telling me about, and I cannot wait to check it out. They should be announcing the name fairly soon. And as soon as, you know, that's up on the internet, you'll know about it because I will be letting you know because I'm very excited to check it out. So once again, thank you so much for checking out That One Time on Tour. This is a lot of fun. This episode was great. The first four episodes were great. And this next episode, next week, it's a big one. For me, it was it's the first one I've really kind of been nervous. I speak with Kira Rossler, former bass player for Black Flag. Yes, that Black Flag. She was so nice on the phone, and I had such a good time speaking with her. But you're going to hear that next week, so you're going to have to wait a little bit to check that out. But I guarantee it is worth the wait. So thank you for listening today to me and Eddie just talk about whatever. And I'm going to leave you with probably one of their biggest songs. It came out on their 2006 record, Louder Now. The song is called Make Damn Sure, and here it is, Taking Back Sunday with Make Damn Sure.
You've got this new head filled up with smoke, and I got my veins all tangled close to the jukebox bars you frequent, the safest place to hide. A long night spent with your most obvious weakness, you start shaking at the thigh. You are everything I want, 'cause you are everything I'm not.
I just wanna break you down so bad. This is the story of Whitney Houston.
This is the story of Kurt Cobain.
Of George Michael, of Otis Redding, of Amy Winehouse, of Michael Hutchence, Bob Marley. This is the story of Prince.
It's a new podcast series.
About how they died, why they died, and why we're still talking about them so long after.
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
It's storytelling.
But it's more than that, because rock stars,
they tell us how we feel. They change our mood.
They change the clothes we wear, the people we hang out with,
the way we remember things.
It's them who give us those ludicrous moments, the ones where you're
jumping around, singing your heart out, feeling understood.
And it's those moments we'll help you remember, the ones you're thinking about right now.
That feeling.
That feeling.
It's coming soon from Crowd Network.
Just search for Death of a Rockstar on your podcast app.
And subscribe now.